A congregation is at heart a tapestry of stories. Here we have the story of the very human 1907 preacher who did his best as a missionary but had to leave because of an extracurricular affair. We know that our foremothers and fathers wandered the Boise wilderness for many years, meeting in schools and churches and homes and YMCAs. We are grateful for Ethel Hopper, who started our Mother's Day ceremony, among many other things. The Vietnam War pain still echoes in some hearts. Many recall the high points and sad departure of our first minister in 1987. Lots of us remember the Sunday morning in my early years when I set fire to the scarf I was wearing as a stole. Lots of us also remember my struggles to learn how to be a minister in those days. John Harm's stories will resound for years among us, even though he has been gone already for a couple of years. There are hundreds of private stories, joyful and poignant and tragic. There are stories of love and pettiness and meanness and reconciliation. We are on the edge of a new part of our story at the moment, since I have announced that I will retire in 3.5 years in June 2013. And we are engaged now in a particularly focused effort to become the very best congregation that we can be, strong in mind and heart and courage and hope, so that we will attract the very best minister in the United States. Today's service is very much about this particular congregation, and it's possible that this might not, if you are a newcomer, be absolutely the most fascinating topic to you. Although, if you care about the health and the functioning of human institutions, it might be. In any case, I invite you to attend more Sunday services to hear about and reflect on many other aspects of the human spirit. Remembering, sharing, creating stories builds the bedrock of a fellowship like ours, like any religious organization that people build. At the same time, there are other ways that we can learn about ourselves. A survey can be one of those. And 170 of us took a nationwide survey last year during a worship service. This was a very large survey. The Lilly Foundation was part of it. It surveyed 300,000 worshipers in 2,000-plus congregations, all of whom took the survey on the same Sunday. We have been provided a wealth of information about ourselves. I can barely touch the surface this morning, and I would love to see a group arise spontaneously to really study those figures and help us learn from them. There is so much there. Now, here's some basic information. Our average age is 54, which is about the national average of 53. We are overwhelmingly white. 59% of us are women. The national average is 61%, so we're slightly more balanced. 81% of us have a college or graduate degree, hugely more than the national average of 47%. 49% of us have been here 5 years or less, compared to 32 nationally, and 30% of us have been here more than 10 years compared with 48% nationally. Let me move now to the considerable strengths that the survey reveals about us. We can have so much hope about our future. I may not mention all the percentages. It gets a little confusing. But I do include the actual figures in the manuscript script. So if you want to see those, you can find copies of the sermon in the North Vestibule. Okay, not surprisingly, we score extremely high in our valuing of children's religious education. Our kids are very important to us, and we know that they are being well taught, well loved, and cared for. We are very welcoming, as witness how many of our worshipers have come and stayed in the past 5 years. And this is a fabulous change since I came here 22 years ago, thanks to changes in attitude and structure over the years. We are a congregation that, contrary to some people's personal impressions, is, in fact, very involved. 78% of us report involvement in some aspect of church life, and 62% are in leadership roles of some kind. Now, remember that this was a survey taken in a church service, so it's a survey of people who come to church at least once in a while. It's not a survey of everybody who has anything to do with the church. Almost half of us report a strong sense of belonging, and over two-thirds of us find some or all of our closest friends in this congregation. Two-thirds of us are involved in community service or social service or advocacy groups, which is much higher than the national average of 42%. And well over half of us personally value social justice emphasis as the most important aspect of our congregation. Spiritually, 85% of us find our needs being met by the congregation, and 93% of us think that there's a good match between the minister and the church, as opposed to 85% nationally, so I was glad of that. I was delighted to note that we are way less likely, 27% less likely than the national average attendee, to be in worship because of a sense of obligation. And we're quite a bit less likely to be bored or frustrated in worship. Isn't that good? It is from my point of view. Finally, in the great news category, two-thirds of us agree that this congregation is always ready to try something new, and 86% have a sense of excitement about our future. Even better, 87% of us say that this congregation has a clear vision, goals, and direction, and they are committed to them. This is great stuff. Those of us who have been around for a while can feel that the good work that we've been doing is bearing fruit, and we can see more clearly the strengths that we can continue to build on. And you who are new, you might consider that this is a pretty cool place to become involved and help us create more stories. Now, we all know that life is made up of paradox. The good and the bad, the uplifting and the challenging, always dwell side by side. So let me move to the parts that raise questions or point to areas where we need work. It's not just the survey that raises these either. Our consultant, Mary Gleason, found in her interviews with about 35 people that there is, at this time, a significant sense of concern, unease, and even distrust in the church's lay leadership. The economy is having its effect on us, stressing our personal budgets and the church budget. And though a large number of people, as I just pointed out, feel we are creative and dynamic in our vision and practice, A full 17% said they didn't know what the future directions of the church are. That's quite a lot. Here are other survey results that give me pause, that raise questions. Money and attendance are definite indications of commitment, and we could be doing a lot better here compared to the national average. We give significantly less of our incomes to our church than do other denominations. 51% of the people surveyed of us attend church every week, which is way lower than the 81% nationally who attend church every week. Social action people in our church may have been irritated at the reported enthusiasm for social justice work because they see a fairly small number of people doing the work. It will not surprise them that only 6% of our worshipers said they regularly take place in any activities of this congregation that reach out to the community. It looks suspiciously as though our positive attitude involves enthusiasm for what other people are doing. I would like us to begin thinking in ways that make us more attractive to youth and young adults. While our average age is about the same as national, we have fewer youth and young adults than the national average. We very much need the creativity and ideas of people who haven't entered middle age yet. And I also wonder about the relative scarcity of long-timers, 30% as opposed to the national average of, 42 or more. Have our highly commendable welcoming practices and attitudes somehow conspired to make old-timers feel less comfortable? I'm just raising the question. I don't know. Now, finally, while I am doing the afflicting the comfortable part of this sermon, I have great concern that only 15% of us spend any time in spiritual practice, with the national number being 46%. That is one of the biggest disparities we have. So we see that the picture of this congregation is complex. On the one hand, we find a high general sense of spiritual needs being met, great children's programming, a vigorous sense of involvement and leadership, terrific welcoming practices, and enthusiastic faith that we have an excellent future ahead. On the other hand, we seem to feel a certain disinclination to the day-to-day mundane practices of commitment, like showing up and generous financial stewardship. We seem to have a consistency problem in our attitudes about social justice. I struck the word hypocrisy from my first draft. And on the whole, we do not seem to understand the fundamental importance of spiritual practice. Okay. Having done the good news, bad news thing, I return now to good news. We can, as we have always done, improve in the places where improvement is needed, and we can build on our considerable strengths. The leadership of this fellowship is already doing amazing structural work toward transforming us from a just folks kind of place into a church that has actual systems in place that will allow us to grow sanely, making these structural changes as we continue lifting hearts, broadening minds, nurturing souls, and helping heal the world. As we continue becoming a more and more committed, welcoming, genuine community, which is what we are about at heart. Have you visited the church's Facebook page? Do you know that congregational care team members are always ready to spend time with you, talk to you, help you solve problems? Do you know that there is a Boof food pantry and a pay it forward fund for grants? How many of you have read the strategic plan? Strategic plan sounds really boring. Blah. No, this is not at all. This is on the website under governance. It's far-ranging, it's visionary, it's practical, it's the result of much work and consultation, and it addresses just about every strength and weakness we have with specific plans for how to go about making constructive changes. Lots of places to get involved if you look at it. It's a fabulous document. Are you familiar with the Program Ministry Council, which is the most significant structural change that has happened in my 22 years? The organizational chart that underlies that is on the website. This council has co-chairs and a brilliant consultant, plus a fair amount of ministerial energy that's gone into its creation. And it will have the effect of connecting people in ways that we have never been connected, not to mention creating processes that intentionally recruit people into the lay ministry of the fellowship. The lay ministry of the fellowship, that means you. There's a transition team in formation whose function will be to educate all of us about the process of going from one minister to another, to help us honor our long relationship between now and the formation of a search committee in a couple of years. The board is increasingly sensitive to communication, continues to find better ways to keep us informed. The Committee on Ministry is spending time observing relationships in the ministry of the whole church. The board has listened to you and will be postponing the direct action part of the debt reduction campaign that was called a capital campaign, postponing that until spring 2011, so that this year we may rejoice in a simple, successful annual budget drive, so that we may take a little breather to get our ducks in a row. There is so much going on. You can trust your congregation's leadership, and you can contribute to it in large ways and in small ways. You can live community. The structural changes that I've just outlined, as I felt the energy level going down, structural changes are not exciting, I realize that. They are necessary for our health, and alone they are not sufficient. The things that bring our energy back up are other things. The real deep movement will come from more and more of us feeling part of community and stepping joyously into that feeling. Maybe you might consider coming just one more Sunday a month as your contribution. How about doing the unthinkable? This is unthinkable. Signing up to clean up after the 11 o'clock service. We seem to consider ourselves well above such things as cleaning up after service. When you are asked to be a visiting steward in this drive that we're doing this spring to get our ducks in a row to help our programs work, when you are asked to be a visiting steward, how about taking a deep breath and just saying yes? You'll be very agreeably surprised at what a good time you have. But it's not a matter of marching up to a stranger and saying, how much money are you going to give to the church? It's a much more friendly, social, wonderful kind of thing to do. Okay, are you part of a chalice circle? Might you consider joining a committee? Being a Sunday school teacher, supporting that all-important program that teaches our kids to be respectful and competent and confident and happy people. Parenthetically, I'm asking you vigorously all these things in the knowledge that there are always times in any of our lives when we must simply be a consumer. That there are times in the lives of every one of us when church saves us as we simply receive its blessings. And if you are in that place, you must ignore my exhortations this morning. If you're not, don't. Will you, wherever you are in your life, take up a spiritual practice, remembering it requires no theological position, a spiritual practice if you do not have one? If you do, some practice, day in and day out, you will feel more clearly your place in the universe and your place in this fellowship. However you are contributing to weaving the story and the stories that bespeak our church, can you commit to doing it more deeply? What we're truly about is being with each other in joy and in sorrow, sharing the strength that allows us to help heal the world. We are strong and glorious and vigorous and dynamic, and we are also a bit befuddled and tentative. We are spiritual, loving, justice-making church, and we need to become even more so. I'll close with a couple of things that represent the hundreds of stories that are so precious to me from my time serving in this church. Recently, I got cards from the three kids of a family to whom I had sent a card. One of the kids said, thanks for the card. That was the boy. Not to be stereotyping. Another, illustrated with blue elephants and heart-shaped butterflies and a wolf dog and a caterpillar, wrote, I love Boof. It is so cool. I loved the homemade card you made. And the third, after saying, Boof rocks and is getting funner every day, told about her Christmas Eve experience. She said, my favorite part was to listen to you talk, close my eyes, and sit on my father's lap. I also liked singing and finding the star, but I really liked just closing my eyes peacefully. Boof is so cool. It does rock. And we can all work together to make it funner every day.